It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I've got the end times on my mind again. I've got our mentality on our mind again. Should we be optimistic, pessimistic? And what does the Bible really say? I mean, should we be expecting end-time apostasy, end-time revival, both? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. Well, got in from Italy, let's see, yesterday late afternoon. Left my hotel. What time was it? I guess it was 11 p.m. Tuesday night, 5 a.m. Italy time. We had almost four-hour drive to the airport. And one thing about Italy, even though the country runs efficiently, and even though they have a lot of laws like any other country, there's another feeling you have in Italy. It's just kind of figure it out as you go. Things a little bit more loosey-goosey. So it's funny. Comparing notes with folks at the airport just about lack of signs or ambiguity of directions, but that's kind of the way it happens there. It's my 20th trip to Italy. Many of you know God saved me in an Italian Pentecostal church in 1971, and I guess it's just kind of a spiritual debt the Lord's had me repay to the brothers and sisters in Italy through the years. And one of the nights, actually one night, one morning, I experienced this so richly in two different locations as the worship began. And the worship team was singing in Italian. Boy, my heart was just warmed. I was just smiling. I felt like I was beaming with joy. Just even though I can't travel overseas as much as I did in the past, sometimes I'd be overseas for a month at a stretch, countries like India, etc. My trips are much shorter now. There's something in my heart that's just joined to the nations. And having been to Italy more than any other country, as I said, it was my 20th trip there. So many relationships now that go back almost 25 years, and getting to meet people that got saved at meetings 5 years ago or impacted 10 years ago or 20 years ago, there's just something special about it. And you imagine how God's heart must feel as praise and worship goes up to him from the nations, from countless millions, hundreds of millions of individuals who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So anyway, praise God. Those of you that prayed for me, I do appreciate it. All right. I can't get away from this subject because it comes up constantly and it remains an issue where our thinking is not just divided, but I think dangerously divided in terms of attitude. To have different perspectives, different opinions on many issues, that's only natural. If God wanted us to know certain things with more precision, he would have laid things out with more precision, certain areas and doctrines he does, others he doesn't in Scripture. I did a show a few weeks back about various views of the end times and tried to find a key truth in each of the various views. But what concerns me is our attitude, is our mindset, is how we relate to the day in which we're living. Now look, you don't know any more than I know that we're living in the last generation. You can't prove to me scripturally that we are living in the last generation. And if God told you personally, we will find out, okay? I would just say everyone who was personally told that they were living in the last generation up to now has been wrong. But do I have a sense of tremendous anticipation, expectancy? Yeah, I live like that every day. But to be candid with you, I can't show you from Scripture that Jesus is coming within 10 years or 20. Or certainly within my lifetime, if I live to be 90, I can't tell you that he's not coming in 5 generations or 10 generations. I can't demonstrate that to you explicitly scripturally. But let's just say, for argument's sake, let's just say that we have a maximum of 50 years left on the earth. Let's just say that, for argument's sake, okay? And I'm not being critical if you have a different view. If you are quite sure that the prophecy is lining up a certain way, you work that out with the Lord. I'm not being critical, okay? But Let's just say we agree. We've got 50 years, okay? Roughly, give or take, okay? What should our attitude be? What should our mindset be? Should it be one of, it's only getting worse, everything is coming down all around us, there's no hope of revival, there's no hope of moral reformation, you may be personally revived, but we, are coming into the worst days the world has ever known, marked by apostasy, deception, falling away. In fact, if you're expecting revival, you'll probably be open to a false move, a deceptive move of some kind. All right? Should that be our attitude? Or should our attitude be, we should expect the greatest days of harvest the world has ever seen. We should expect the greatest days of outpouring the world has ever seen. We should expect the greatest days of the victory of God that the world has ever seen. We should be filled with optimism, not pessimism. Is it possible that both are true? That we should be expecting great apostasy as well as great revival? And what about the question of, should we be preparing for greater persecution, greater opposition? With either scenario, with either great deception or great revival, the question of preparing for persecution, preparing for opposition remains a valid question as well. So what do you think? You as a believer, if you personally feel like we're nearing the end of the age, if you personally feel like, yeah, we might have 50 years or left, how then should we be living? Should we be praying for sweeping revival? Should we even bother standing up for moral reformation based on the gospel? Should we be standing for righteousness? Should we be just preparing for escape? Should we be preparing to go underground? Should we be preparing for the greatest revival the world has ever seen? What do you think? What's your own attitude? What's your own way of looking at things? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you listen to the show with regularity, then you'll know over the months these types of subjects come up, and they come up even when I'm not planning to bring them up. For example, I might be talking about a particular moral situation in America, and someone will call in to say, yeah, that's another sign that we're living in the last generation. So does the Bible anywhere tell us explicitly that at the end of the age, there will be primarily apostasy and deception? Does the Bible tell us that anywhere explicitly? Does the Bible tell us anywhere explicitly that at the end of the age, there will be great revival and outpouring? Does the Bible give us any hint about coming persecution? Now, some of you will immediately say, hey, look, 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, terrible times will come. Matthew 24:12, the love of many, NIV says most, it should just be translated many, the love of many will wax cold. Other passages like in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the great falling away. Isn't that clear? On the other hand, people would say, what about a multitude of souls that no one could number from every tribe, tongue, kindred? What about Acts 2? In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. What about Romans 11, 25 and 26 that speaks of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in and then all Israel being saved? Or on the persecution end, is it ever going to be any different than 2 Timothy 3:12? Everyone who lives a godly life in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. 866-34-TRUTH. Now look, this is, to me, to reemphasize this, more than just a doctrinal discussion. It is practical. It has to do with how we live. It has to do with what our attitude is. It has to do with what our mindset is. So even if you say, well, no one knows exactly when Jesus is coming back, and we don't know if this is the last generation or if they're 20 generations ahead. Okay, fair enough. What's your attitude as a gospel believer living today? What's your attitude of faith, of expectation? And please understand, if you feel everything's coming down and that's what the Bible says, I'm not going to call that unbelief. You're believing what you understand the Bible says. Now, you may be pessimistic by nature or not. That's a separate subject. So we're going to take this up, and I want to do my best to open this up practically. As always, you can feel free to disagree with positions I put forward. Best thing is, though, argue your case as clearly as you can so our listeners can hear it and we can evaluate things. So, as a child of God living today, are you optimistic about what's coming ahead or pessimistic about what's coming ahead? Or is it a combination of both? We'll be back. All right, here's the question I posted on Facebook. You can join us there at Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown on Facebook. Do you think the Bible tells us to expect great apostasy, great revival, or both in the final days of this era? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. That's 866-348-7884. Hey, aside from the bottom line question, which is, what does the Bible tell us about this? There is a related question, which is, what do you think the devil wants us to think, and what do you believe God wants us to think? Maybe the devil wants us to think everything's coming down, there is no hope, there'll be no end-time revival, there'll be no great end-time harvest. So, don't believe for that. That's from the devil. Or maybe the devil wants us to expect all kinds of amazing, miraculous things to happen and therefore be open to deception. Or maybe God wants us to be sober-minded because everything's going to go downhill and he doesn't want us to lose faith. Or maybe God wants us to be full of faith and expectation lest we fall into the trap of pessimistic unbelief because he is doing great things and about to do even greater things. A little bit more. Listen, we do a couple things here on the Line of Fire. One is we make complex issues as simple as we can. Difficult, complex, scriptural, theological issues, make them as simple as we can. And on the flip side, sometimes we make issues that seem simple, a little bit more complex to get you thinking. All right, let's start with Brandon in Lexington, North Carolina. Thanks for calling, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Good. How about you, man?
Just enjoying your show.
Well, thank you.
I was just going to speak on what you said earlier. You know, I don't know whether the Lord will come back within the next 50 years or more. No one knows. However, I do think we as believers should be out there witnessing, until he does come. Just like the Bible says, go be a witness for him. As far as, optimism or pessimistic, I'm optimistic about his coming. That means I get to go be with him forever. So I don't look at it as, I get to be with him. What's not to be optimistic about that? So and that's kind of how I look at it. We should be out there witnessing regardless.
Do you think that it's a distraction? A lot of the talk about end times and prophecy, it could be a distraction from our main goal?
I think it can be. It just depends on, what's being said. I think it can be a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should, live like, the next day or even today could be the last. I mean, I don't think we should, maybe it'll happen 10 years from now and put things off. I think we should just go out there, be good servants of the Lord, be out there witnessing as he has commanded us to do.
Got it.
Witness to others, as if, he could come back tomorrow.
It
could happen. I don't know, but he could.
All right. Hey, Brandon, I appreciate you weighing in and keep lifting up Jesus, man. Thank you. Okay, so one perspective is regardless of the time or season in which we live, we have a mission, which is to be witnesses, to make disciples, and we need to be going about doing that. Certainly, Jesus will return. That's the ultimate reality. There will be a final separation. That's the ultimate reality. So either way, regardless of whether we have 2 years or 100 years, for 200 years, we simply need to be witnessing and winning the lost, making disciples. Witt in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Hey, I do appreciate you taking the call. Two things real quick. When you look in Revelation, in the first chapter there, it says, blessed are those who read this. And I don't have my Bible open, but I'm sure you're familiar with that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is where God wants us to know what is going on and for us to be aware. But one thing that has always fascinated me, if you will, and that is when Jesus approached the scribes and Pharisees in his first advent, he was saying, you can discern the sky, but you can't discern the times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important for Christians to be able to discern the times. But as you just said with the previous caller, it's so important that end times are taught in such a way that it is an encouragement, an exhortation, and it causes us to be more wanting to evangelize.
Got it. Hey, Witt, I appreciate that. And the issue of discerning the times is something I'm going to continue to talk about. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. I remember being in a service on Long Island, well over 30 years ago. And someone from some other country led a Bible school there, was coming in and doing a teaching, and was getting into great detail about certain things that we could expect in the millennial kingdom. Now, I had read the same Bible that he was reading. He didn't have access to other holy books and revelatory books than I did. It's not like I was missing part of the Bible. And where he was getting these details from, I had no idea. But I remember at a certain point thinking, this is irrelevant to me today. This is not an issue. I had the privilege of being a close friend of Leonard Ravenhill the last 5 years of his life, from 1989 until 1994, when he went to be with the Lord at the age of 87. And to tell you the truth, he was the most passionate man for God I ever met in terms of a broken heart for souls, a broken heart for the glory of Jesus, a broken heart for the reputation of the church, a tremendous man of prayer, author of the famous book, Why Revival Tarries. And he would say to me sometimes with tears in his eyes, Mike, I don't care about what's going to happen in 2020. I'm going to be gone then. In other words, what's the state of the body today? What's the state of the church today? That being said, there's no question that we should at least know what's happening in our generation. One of the purposes of the Line of Fire is to seek to be like the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. There's abstract prophecy teaching that I think does us little or no good. There is concrete understanding of the day and age in which we live, and then what the scriptures say to the larger subject of how we should live in light of the era in which we live. That's very important. Let me grab a few more calls and then interact with some of the Facebook comments. Ross in Greensboro, thanks for calling today, sir.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Mike. Can I ask you first what you think about your question, how soon? Is this the time?
Oh, okay, sure. Let me. I don't want to hedge too much information up front because I like to solicit different opinions first on a subject like that. But tell you what, I'm gonna answer that, and okay. Then we've got a break. So if you'll hold on through the break, you can come on right after and interact with what I had to say and continue. Okay. So
thank you.
All right. So my thoughts for Ross and others. I hope that Jesus is coming in my lifetime. I believed he was when I was first saved. That was like a given, of course. I hope he is. I don't see it, though. I don't see how everything in Scripture that's supposed to happen would happen within my lifetime. So I remain hopeful, but I don't expect it, is where I'm at right now. Okay, we'll be back. Talk these things through.
Thanks for
for joining us on the Line of Fire today. Michael Brown, back from Italy. Glad to be live here in our studio outside of Charlotte. 866-34-TRUTH. Should we expect great apostasy, great revival in the final days of this era, or both? We had kind of an interesting phenomenon immediately before the break. Every line lit up simultaneously, and then right during the break, just about everybody lost heart and courage to stay on through the break, except for Faithful Ross. So we've got a couple lines back open if you want to try to get through now. 866-34-TRUTH. Is this some type of end time significance with the lines filling and disappearing? And no, I don't think so. Okay, Ross, thanks for holding through the break. I want to say one other thing. Yeah. I believe, according to the New Testament, that since Jesus died and rose from the dead, we have been in the period called the last days. And therefore, the things that the Bible speaks about the last days applied then and applied to this generation and applied 500 years ago as well. But in terms of my own expectation, as I said, about the return of Jesus, obviously every generation gets closer. I live with a sense of constant expectation and upheaval, feeling that there could be mass shaking all around the world at almost any time as God is continuing to move in the earth. But based on my understanding of Scripture, I see, and 2 billion people who've never even heard the name of Jesus, and the state of the church so disunified, I have a hard time seeing how everything would fall into place and this age would be culminated during my lifetime. So that's my long and short of it.
Well, I don't fault you for that. See, I'm not a Bible scholar, but what do you do with a 60-year-old man like me who Jesus told these are the end times? What do you do about that?
All right, so
I
Ross, yeah, what did you, when did you feel that he spoke
five
this
years
to you?
Ago.
Okay, and five. what did you take that to mean?
Well, first of all, I jumped up and down. I was thrilled. The joy was overwhelming. I won't even go into the details. I'm just But I've often asked myself, is the end times just another 5 years or another 25? But I can tell you this: something's. If I had to take a guess, I would say something's got to happen within 20 years. I'm telling you, this experience was so. It changed my life.
Got it. All right. Now, let me just jump in. On a personal level, obviously, anything you feel the Lord told you is between you and God, and it's not for me to add or take away from on that
right.
level. But what is universally important for all of us is there's a reality. Something hits you that made the shortness of this world and the reality of the return of Jesus much more real to you than it had ever been, correct?
Yeah, boy, that's correct.
Right. That's how we should all live. In other words, regardless of whether it's 2 years or 200 years, there's something about the reality of the shortness of this life, the shortness of this age, the incredible promise of his return, and how everything's going to be changed. That should influence the way we live every day of our lives. And I'm sure it's given you much more reality of eternity and much less concern about what people think. Am I right on that also?
Well, you are. You know, again, not being a Bible scholar, but I do know that old men will dream dreams, young men will have visions. Well, everybody should keep that in mind because I believe that this is the season, and if the season is 20 years or 2 years, I'm hoping it's two. I think things are going to start moving so quickly now in every possible way, good things, bad things. It's going to become so obvious to people within a year or two that the 2 billion that don't know Jesus are suddenly going to start knowing him,
mm-hmm.
even if he has to step in a dream or a vision.
Well,
so,
yeah, Ross, let me say this. There's nothing in my belief system based on the Word or my own walk with God that stops me from thinking there could be massive acceleration. I expect massive acceleration. I'm with you on that. And Muslims all over the world are getting saved through dreams and visions.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have groups that are, say, very conservative Baptists. They don't believe in speaking in tongues and healing and miracles. And they'll attest to all these Baptists getting saved through dreams and visions. So, yeah, on that level, in terms of my mindset, Ross, I very much feel the way you do in terms of accelerating of pace, shaking of all things, great expectation of my lifetime. I simply, as I said, don't have either the scriptural or the personal revelation to have the exact same perspective as you, but the larger, man, I am with you inch for inch, and I think your call's an important reminder to us about how we should be thinking and living.
Can I add one more thing?
Go for it, man.
Yeah. I don't know if I was in heaven, but wherever I was, it's so breathtakingly beautiful that it's bringing tears to my eyes right now.
Yeah, I could feel the reality of it as whatever the experience was, I can feel the reality of
what
you experienced.
Well, I was close to death. I was close to death. And he just stepped in, and I'm still here. Okay, hey, I'll talk to you. Yeah,
Russ, where are you from originally?
New York.
Yeah, you don't sound like you're from Greensboro.
No, I'm down. I try to do a southern accent. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
By the way, how do I convince my incredibly religious zealot aunt of 80 that there's a rapture? How do I do that there's a rapture?
Oh, I don't even argue. I've just convinced her that Jesus is coming. That's the big issue. Hey, Ross, thanks for the call, man.
Sure.
Okay. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. We'll tell you what. Before I weigh in on some of my mindset, some of the fundamental things I hold to, let me read again the question I posted on our Facebook page. You can interact by going to Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, at Facebook. Here's my question. Do you think the Bible tells us to expect great apostasy, great revival, or both in the final days of this era? Let's see. First three comments. One, two, three, both. Next comment, both, simultaneously. Then another. Andrew, in my opinion, it's going to look like we lost before it's all said and done, as well as a result of martyrdom and persecution. But I believe the pressure will increase us in our faith and the glory that's being released. So I guess I'd have to say both. What an interesting paradox. Grace says, I think it is both. And then I'm just looking at another page here. Both. Great apostasy. And then some say, well, here's the deal. There's going to be great apostasy in the church before the tribulation, but I think great revival will be during the tribulation. All right, just for everyone listening, and sorry to disappoint you, Ross, on this one, I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. I don't find it in Scripture. I haven't believed in a pre-trib rapture for, close to 35 years, at least 34 years. However, which also means I believe that whatever tribulation there's going to be, we will be here right to the end in the thick of it, protected by God, but right in the thick of it, with all kinds of hell breaking loose around us. And I am filled with overwhelming optimism in the things God is doing and is about to do. Am I one of the both? Am I in the both camp? Stay with us. What about these days in which we're living? End times, everything getting better, worse. What should we expect? What does the Bible say? What should our attitude be? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I start to unpack some of my thinking on this and the scriptures behind it, just wanted to share a quote I spotted in an email I received earlier today. It's from Daniel Webster, one of our... well, not founding fathers, but in the immediate generations thereof. If our posterity neglects religious instruction, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe, may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. There's a dot, dot, dot in the quote. I'm not sure if there's an expansion on that thought, but clearly the gist of it, of course, he's a founding father. If our posterity neglects religious instruction, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. Wow. Okay. A number of thoughts. Number one, I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. I haven't for over 30 years. Feel free to differ with me on that. Just keep studying Scripture and be sure you're basing your views on what you see in Scripture, not just what you heard passed on. So I believe that whatever persecution, opposition there will be, whatever rule of an Antichrist there will be, whatever, quote, great tribulation there will be, God's people will be here right through the thick of it. And we've done shows on that before. I'm happy to do another. Maybe I'll get a strong pre-trib advocate on one day so that we can have dialogue about that. So you say, well, you must really expect gloom and doom. Oh, no, quite the contrary. First, I believe that the New Testament was speaking to its day as well as to our day. And when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and said to him that in the last days perilous times will come, he then gives a list of what to expect. Well, you look at that list, that's been in just about every, well, it's been in every generation that human beings have been here. In other words, don't expect everything to just get wonderful. Don't expect everything to just get great and perfect. Don't expect to, that we're going to do away with evil and wickedness on the earth. But at the end of his list, Paul speaks of these people having a form of godliness and denying its power. It says, have nothing to do with them, Timothy. He's not warning Timothy about something that's going to happen 2,000 years later. Timothy, take careful note of this. 2,000 years from now, it's going to get really bad. No, of course not. And if that was just a word for the final generation, if that's not us, then it's not relevant to us. And when people read it 100 years ago, it wasn't relevant in 500, et cetera, et cetera. So I see the warnings about the perilous, difficult times of the end times as being relevant for Timothy's day and for our day and the final generation, either us or whoever that is. And I find the promises relevant. I find the promises relevant. In the last days, God says, Acts 2:17 and following, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I find the words of Jesus that he's building his ecclesia, his congregation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that. I find that to be an overwhelmingly encouraging word. You say, yeah, but aren't there words that talk about great apostasy? Aren't there? Yeah. I expect the final generations to be marked by parallel extremes. Parallel extremes. Jesus speaks of the parable of the net being like the kingdom of heaven. And what does he say? It's a figure of kingdom of heaven, end of the age, and there's going to be a great catch of good and bad. The wheat and the tares are going to grow side by side, good and bad. I believe the witness of the gospel will increase and grow around the earth. Look at what U.S. Center for World Missions said over 10 years ago. Across the centuries, Bible-believing Christians have become an ever larger proportion of world population. In AD 1430, only 1 in 100 was a Bible-believing Christian. Today, 1 in 6 is. If you think 1 in 6 is high, maybe 1 in 10. But it was 1 in 100 in the year 1430. What's the point? God is moving. More people are coming into the kingdom every day than any time before. So I say three fundamental things. One, there will be wickedness and apostasy. Many will fall away. As has happened in the past, it will happen again at the end of the age. Many of the parallels from the years leading up to the destruction of the temple will be lived out at the end, meaning that there will be apostasy and deception and false messiahs and prophets, and that there will be massive outpouring and massive harvest and massive kingdom advance and all hell breaking loose against God's people. Which is why at our church at Fire every Sunday, we pray for revival in the region, we pray for the salvation of Israel, and we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for those suffering under the gospel every day, because that will be increasing reality at the end of the age. So those three things I am expecting. All right, I'm going to try to get to one more call and an important announcement for you, so stay with us. Okay, I got some breaking news to share with you as we talk about end time apostasy or revival, and it's relevant. Let me grab one call first. Brian, traveling somewhere in the Triad area, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, so please dive right in.
Hey, I just wanted to say I loved your show, and I love how you were talking. You are just right on point, I think, in the way God is God wants you to think, and how I really do believe, just like you, God is going to move in the end time. And I really believe that, I believe Jesus says that in the scriptures, isn't that what he's going to do? Is he's going to move in power? Because I've seen him move in power. I'm from Northern California, and, you know, there's a whole young generation of kids out there that they are so spirit-led, and they seek God and get on their face every day and read the scripture. And they go out and, you know, they pray for people. They see healings. I mean, you know, it's powerful. They are moving in power, and we're going to be seeing more of that. It's going to be a wave that's coming, and it's going to get larger and larger, I believe.
Got it. Hey, Brian, thanks for weighing in. Thanks for the enthusiasm. And I know some of those same young people in Northern California. All right, here's why this whole topic today is so relevant. Breaking news now that Judge Walker, who came up with the ridiculously, absurdly, illogically worded ruling that gender doesn't marry in marriage, and the institution of marriage is basically discrimination against homosexuals, and saying, yes, there can be same-sex marriage. Again, it was a foregone conclusion to those involved that he was ruling in one direction. The absurdity of his ruling was probably surprising to many. So now, can same-sex couples, quote, marry? Well, there is a request for a stay on this until it goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and ultimately to the Supreme Court as the plan. Well, Judge Walker has said, August 18th, you can start to marry again in California. The will of over 7 million Californians, the will of the people, the due process of election thrown out. Now, that's grievous, that's ugly, but that's the world. That's sinning people doing sinful things in ignorance. I probably spoke a couple hours on the plane flying over to Rome to a very open and proud gay flight attendant that happened to just be traveling over on his own, and we talked heart to heart, and he said, boy, it's nice to meet a religious conservative who has a heart despite our differences. And we heard each other out and shared our views, and I said, hey, we got to live in this world side by side. We need to talk, but I want you to understand why I hold to what I hold to and the reasons and what I'm praying for in his life. And he interacted with me honestly. I hear this ruling, and it's discouraging, although not altogether surprising. But I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at what God is doing. And America may rise or fall before Jesus comes back. America may experience its greatest days or its worst days, or it may be wiped off the map. I can't tell you with 100% certainty, but this I know. God is at work, and God is doing great things. And in the midst of human sin and wickedness, God will do the greatest things we have ever seen on the planet. Bethany posted this on our Ask Dr. Brown page. I think that the apostasy could be simply that the people who name the name of Jesus primarily as part of their culture, who have not grounded themselves in the truth of Scripture, stopped calling themselves Christians when things get hard, and that the Spirit of God may simultaneously pour forth in the most significant worldwide revival ever, because the cost of believing brings purification and significance to walking by faith. Hey, very important. Go to our website, AskDrBrown.org. We are offering 6 weeks of our cultural engagement classes on CD, MP3, from last year. Less than $3 an hour for the teaching, okay? A significant reduction on a well-priced series to start. Six very, very important classes. Friends, we are living in urgent days. God is working. Get equipped. Get equipped. So go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. Order the cultural engagement classes. Share them with your friends, your congregations, and you can be a shining light in this hour. Back with you tomorrow.